Hi, friends. We're still at the Karlovy Vary Film Festival, and it's one interview after another. This time, I'm talking to director Risa Murina. Hi, he's here with me now.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to speak about his fantastic film, Shame and Money. It did not premiere here, but Karlovy Vary always collects the best films also from other festivals. So you could present this very interesting drama at many festivals. How's your festival journey going so far?
It's very nice, actually. But I was especially happy coming to Karlovy Vary because my first feature premiered here. So this is where we had our international premiere, and I was in this very big hall with I don't know how many seats, and I was impressed by the way it was built, but also as a first experience. And I like Karel very much, the artistic director, so I was very happy being invited.
A lot of fond memories for you here.
Yes, a lot. Yeah, actually I was supposed to come with my main actor on my first feature. He was also the lead, and unfortunately he has back problems and he had to cancel it.
But maybe at another festival you have a chance to make up for the lost events.
Yes, but we wanted especially to be in Karlovy Vary because it was for us both a very special place to be, and it's a very nice, very interesting festival.
But we're all the more happy to have you here and to be now able to talk about Shame and Money. It deals with a family whose life declines and is erupted by financial and structural instability that comes absolutely unexpected. And it's about how a few small events can uproot your whole existence. The story is very social realist. How did you create the story and approach its style?
I did Exil, my previous feature, and I took an image of Flonia and Astrid, who are now the lead, and somehow they reminded me very much of my parents. So, and I kept looking at this image over and over again. This was one thing. The other thing was that we had COVID. I was worried about my parents and somehow started to think about them in a different way, less as their child, more as a human beings, thinking also all the things they went through. And I wanted actually to do like a homage on them, and also with the question how it would have been if they would have leave home now and not 30 years ago as they did. But my father used to be there, but I came with my mom and two of my brothers to Germany in the 90s, mid-90s. Thing is, Kosovo has gone through so many different times. There was Tito, communist, and then Milosevic with a really hard dictatorship, and then the war, and the country is stuck in between. I think it's such an interesting record of time. My DOP and I were very much trying to get actually more closer to a sense of reality as we took it, and less in terms of to make it look beautiful. I wanted to be very much located and to feel what I think it's real.
So would you say the story is in part at least inspired by your personal family history of migration?
Interesting question, because no, in the first hand, because my family left in the 90s and not now, and my family didn't, you know, they left for Germany and not to the capital. But the struggle and the feeling and the trying again and again to make things work, this is something I know very well. While editing, I realized how much, actually in bigger sense than I thought it would be, how much my dad was in there. In the end, I see it as a film about my parents, especially about my father.
So you would say there's an emotional connection, not historic, but emotional.
Yes. There are some certain things that are the same. I wrote the script in the house I grew up. I was only with my family. I was not with my uncles or something. My parents, they did many things. I think it's not possible as a parent to do everything right. But one thing that really I do admire, they somehow managed to keep the pressure out of us and not to involve us in sometimes really fucked up things. The time under Milosevic was a horrible time. But at the same time, I think of my childhood as actually one of my happiest times in my life.
Is that sometimes difficult for you to deal with, this contradiction?
Very clearly remember the first time going to post office and having to wait in a line, and the line was outside. So I went to a supermarket and I couldn't enter it because it was supposed to be only a certain amount of people, and it felt really, really weird, and everybody having a mask. A few months later, you somehow got used to it. And as a child, you take it as this is how the world is. Actually, I do compare it. It was, for example, when there were everywhere police, and it was actually an interesting walk because it reminds me very much of acting. Imagine you are crossing a street and there is two or three or more soldiers or police, and you were actually supposed to think clearly how you walk. If you are afraid and you were afraid, then you shouldn't show it because then you have something to hide. If you don't give a shit about the police, then it's also not right. You were trying to make the biggest distance to them, but without them realizing it. But after this was gone, you just forgot it. So the danger was gone, you just forgot it. I think this is how basically life is, or in the highway and you see a bad accident and then you have your feelings while you are seeing it and maybe also a few minutes later, but at some point you just forget it. This is how I imagine people survive really, really fucked up areas.
You already mentioned that the worst of the pressure back then was kept away from you. Did you research the social durst that the family in your film experiences to better portray it in a contemporary context?
Oh, a lot. This was very, very important. For example, the line that really stuck with me is, and in Albanian it sounds, who live in Germany now for a very long time, and then I have found for myself out that I write in a better way if I am staying in the place where the story takes place. Also, because I'm more focused and never, so actually I went there. Sometimes I see prices there and I wonder how people make it. Sometimes I pay there more than I do pay in Germany, but the salary there is very, very low. While doing this, there was the saying, even your mom doesn't love you when you're broke. You have to know that the image of the mother in Albanian speaking parts is like iconic. Really, like, I think it's a bit too much. In Albanian, this line sounds more like someone who is just realizing that even the love of your mom has to be bought. This stayed so much with me. It was actually, also now when I think back, this is the thing that stayed the most with me.
Was there a time in your life when you also personally experienced poverty?
If you come as a refugee to Germany, there's no way but experience it very, very bad.
Do you find that now that you're an established artist, that class race, like advancing in class society is actually possible? Or would you say that you always stay in your own class no matter how much your financial situation might change?
My view on what we call racism has changed a bit, actually quite a lot. I feel like in the end, it's a question of money. So a question of class. I do define class of question of money and not of something else. Everything else is aesthetics. It's, for example, very surprising that really rich men, some people, for example, now running the state in the US, they don't have any problems, even though they might appear very racist. And I think they are deeply racist, but they don't mind with rich Arabs. For example, in Germany, people who are from Australia or US or France or countries that we consider as cool, usually countries that have money, they you don't call them foreigners. You call them
expats.
And a guy from Syria or from Kosovo or Turkey.
He's an immigrant, yes. There's a duality in the title of the film between, we have money that we talked about, but we also have shame. And of course, connected to shame is the concept of dignity, which is also essential in the story. Would you like to explore on your views on this concept, how shame is put upon people for their social stand and their social position, but also where they came from, and dignity, how people can preserve it, or if it's impossible maybe to preserve it in the society structures?
People maybe won't believe it, but I do not have a relation to pride. I can be very happy, but I got my favorite band doing my next film, and I'm a complete music nerd. I'm very happy about it, but I would never say I feel pride that they are doing it. I believe there's a huge, you know, if you live in a society where everything you stand for is basically come down to how much money you have, and if money becomes part of the identity, and I feel like we have no God, we have nothing, we have only money, then two things are happening. One thing is everything I do, it will be an investment, even saying hi, and I'm completely fine if I invest myself by saying hi to you. I don't know how much fine I would be if I know everybody saying hi to me is seeing it as an investment. It will define everything. This is one thing. The other thing is, and if this happens, then it will become a big part of your identity. And identity is also what other people see in me. I don't create, you know, there's a saying by Hannah Arendt, der Mensch ist nur im Plural. The way you look at me shapes me. If this is money as identity, then there's no way but running straight to hell of depression. I think there's a huge connection between money, and if I have to convince you all the time that I'm worth of being seen, being loved, being touched, being part of something, then I think one thing will very soon happen, that it's hard to convince you, but it's hard to convince myself. And that's why I see a big connection between those two. Some circles, also in my circles, it's very important, for example, where you get your food, how you eat it, how it's done. There's also shame in it.
You already mentioned that you worked in the past with your main actor. Would you like to tell us a little bit about the casting process?
The casting process was actually very nice. The country is quite small. It's less than 2 million. You don't have so many actors there if you compare it to Germany. So you have to really be sure to take and how to put it and how to what to make a context. I am very close with Asad Kaboshi. I did also my last film at my school. I studied in Kahem in Cologne. Since then, we are friends. And then we did my first feature about Boy. And since then, we are like almost siblings. And I knew, and he's named Shaban because one day he was stoned and we were in Pristina and we were a lot of people. And in Pristina, they tell a lot of jokes. Sometimes it's really annoying. Then he started talking about telling jokes over a figure. And this figure was called Shaban. That's why he's named Shaban. I had some people in my head and the rest I had to find. But it was actually very nice. I think I was very lucky with the cast. Actually, they saved me through the process because sometimes it was a bit difficult. And also for many reasons, we have to move a lot and it was very hard. Sometimes things didn't work out as they were supposed to. And
you screened your film at many festivals. Mm. Do you perceive a difference in audience reactions depending on the place or the country you show it in?
We premiered in Sundance in January, but then I didn't attend all the other festivals. This is now my third festival. I just came from Munich. It was very interesting to be in Sundance because I was really surprised how much they connected to it and how much also in the Q&As people were talking about themselves or about someone in next to them. And I was thinking maybe in Germany, at least you have, even though it's getting less and less, but you have some kind of a net, that the social net that saves you. You can get some money, you can get your health insurance. Many don't. This permanent threat of being on the street is less strong than it is in the US. I was really overwhelmed how people reacted. And when the actors came on stage, it's always the same. Rich people watch poor people being poor. Sometimes also questions they ask. I'm surprised.
Now that you can show this film here, what would you hope that the audience takes away from it, if it could be like maybe one thing?
We have a certain way of living where, for example, Berlin has more households where one person lives in than families or people sharing.
More single households than family households.
And I think we are living in a society where you have to be actually egocentric and where you have to be somehow, you are thrown to yourself. And if you fail, then it's because of you. And this way of living, I think, supports very much everything that is not somehow trying to see the other. It sounds very cheesy, but I think we would be in a better place as human beings if we have what we call in German empathy a tiny bit more.
Do you have a new project with a band that you love, your favorite band? Mm. I wanted to ask you, what's your new film project? So is it this one or are there several ones that you, something you'd like to mention maybe?
I had today audition two calls with a very nice person. I was very happy about it. I have written a script, a love story that takes place in Cologne and Portugal and Austria. Music will be a very important part of the story. Music is a very important part of my life. And in this film, we are now trying to finance it. I hope I can shoot it next year.
I hope I can see it here next year. And if you have some financing money, give it to Visa Morina because he made his fantastic film Shame and Money here. And you also need money to make good films.
Yeah,
so thank you so much for this interview.
We need a lot of money this time. Yeah. Thank you.